This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Matthews as Roark's got the Leafs into the lead, and they're out there together now. Marlowe, a pass up on the wing, it goes to Morgan Rielly. Rielly in with a shot, he scores! The Leafs win it in overtime! Morgan Rielly! And that one went right through Cam Ward, 7-6, the Leafs win it!
Oh, really, guy? 7-6. Wow, that was exciting, wasn't it, Gibby?
Oh, man. That's unbelievable. That is.
And the winning goal was, you know, not we were expecting it to go back and forth. It was just like watching a boxing match where, you know, down he goes, up he goes, down. But that was just a drive to the net that went found its way in, and it doesn't matter. You know, we're not going to have enough time to describe how good or how lucky the goal was. It was 7-6.
It was 7-6, and I think it hit something in front of the net. It might have been Taves' leg, but hey, they found a way to score. I mean, they battled back. They got the lead. They kept giving it up on the 6-on-5 situations. You know, the first one tied it up, and then they went back and scored again, and obviously let Kane fire another one through the wickets or in the far side there, and overtime we go. But that's unbelievable. Like, holy smokes.
Post-game roundtable brought to you by Subaru. Right now is the perfect time to fall for a Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates from 0.5%. Let's go back to the United Center. Jim Ralph standing by. Ralphie, how are you, sir?
Feel like you should look through the game sheet and see Vive, Lehman, Savard, Secord, Larner.
It was vintage, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was for the first time in a real long time, I haven't felt like the goalie equipment was too big.
No kidding. I mean, I was like watching a fight. Tavares, Kane, Matthews, yeah. Kane, Rielly scores, it's over.
Yeah, and the Rocky movies were more believable than this ending. there was mistakes on both sides. For me, a tough one for Garrett Sparks, because even though I thought he was very good in the first 10 minutes and was beaten twice, no chance on either goal, as the game went on, especially in the third period when you kept getting the one-goal lead, he seemed to really fight it and to me, be nervous and just lock up. On a lot of the chances that the Hawks had that got them back in it. Now, I mean, I realize it's Patrick Kane, and you've got to respect the talent. But I thought, you know, just a slight bit of concern in the first game that Garrett Sparks done a lot of help at a lot of times, but how he responded to the pressure late in the game.
Ralphie, you think that's just part of the process he's going to have to go through? I mean, this is all new to him. We were talking pregame that I don't think he's ever faced a situation like this where he's going to play once every two and a half to three weeks and maybe even longer sometimes. But tonight's game, do you think it's just one of those processes that a young goalie has to go through and fight his way through?
Yeah, and you realize Chicago's been on a pretty good roll coming in, finding the back of the net as well. I mean, they got, what, 5 last night in St. Louis?
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's the Hawks' home opener, and Garrett Sparks is from the area, so maybe a lot plays into it. But I think you would like to think at 25, if things go bad, it's not because you got rattled. And that's what we're going to find. You're exactly right, though, Gibby. This is a new role. However, if you don't do it properly, you're not around. I mean, that's... Yeah. I said, in a sort of a bizarre way, it's like being a starter moving to closer or vice versa. Probably more moving to a starter where you've only got, you pitch every 5 games instead of getting in there on a regular basis. And it's a different mentality. It's different preparation. And unfortunately, it's not an easy job to do because now, well, when are the next back-to-back games? Guys,
I think it's November, November, isn't it?
Okay, so now that's
ninth and tenth.
Yeah, so not
Devils and Bruins.
So I mean, if that's the case, you know, it's kind of tough to pick up the game notes every day and look at what your goals against average is until you get a chance to get in and play again.
Well, I was going to suggest to you, we talked about this in the pregame too. I mean, this was the way it was with McElhinney because you knew he could do it. But I don't know that you would have that expectation for Sparks because he's new. Don't you change the way you're playing your backup goalie because there's a new face there?
I don't know. I mean, Mike Babcock was pretty rigid in his his assignments for the goaltenders. And Babcock was questioned about it, saying, is there a chance that Freddie won't play as much? And Babcock's response was, well, what if we really need a win? So it was sort of saying, then my number one guy is playing. So
yeah.
I don't know if he's going to waver from it at all. And I know it's a difficult thing to do. And, Joe and I had the conversation on the air that the feeling might be that it was an organizational decision to have Garrett Sparks start the season here, where Mike Babcock might have been more loyal to Curtis McElhinney and what he's been able to do. So, wonder if that's going to be of a split, because with both Pickard and McElhinney gone, your options have really become pretty limited.
Well, that's why you might change how you play him, because I mean, if it doesn't work, you've got no place to go.
Yeah. Now, having said that, it's not as if this was an airtight game.
Oh no!
And they didn't give up anything. I mean, the giveaways on both sides were absolutely staggering.
Isn't that part of the game, Ralphie?
Well, no, like we said, no. Part of the game used to be, if I don't have a play, I'll put it off the glass.
Right.
Now, if I don't have a play, I'm going to spin, put it through my legs, try to lob it up the boards, get it to the four guys that have already left the zone, and then scramble to get back before they tap it in the net. And it's... even on the, I'm trying to think of the Tavares goal. The Hawks had an opportunity to get it out. I think it was Kane on that one.
Yeah. Going Matthews, up the wall, right?
Matthews goal, yeah. same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was, this was both sides. But what you've really seen from a Leafs standpoint so far is exactly what you thought, A, their weaknesses would be, and B, what their strengths would be. And I think we've seen that in all three games so far.
And the strengths when it's Tavares and Matthews is pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, and throw in Mitch Marner and his magic. I do think it was rather significant, though, if, once we get through everything, that maybe the most significant happening in this game tonight was Kasperi Kapanen being put with Austin Matthews.
Yep.
Tyler Rennes had a great preseason and was pretty impressive to make the club, but it wasn't working 5-on-5 with Austin Matthews. And Mike Babcock right away finds some magic between these two in the second period. A great outlet pass, Matthews to Kapanen on the breakaway, and then Kapanen a great pass across the top of the crease to set Matthews up later in the second. So I think there was probably the most significant thing to come out of it for the Leafs might have been that line change by Mike Babcock.
Yeah, we were talking about it, too, and that was a huge change. So just quickly, Ralph, do you think it's something that Mike's going to stay with that switch?
I think you got it.
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
But then here's the other side of it, Gimme, and I'm not trying to guess at coaching decisions. I don't know if Tyler Ennis is a fourth-line guy.
No, he's not.
I think, do you start looking at...
putting him up on the left side with Kadri and moving Lavo down, or...
Well... And I think Josh Levo's had some moments.
Yeah.
I think he's been on the forecheck and been physical. Should have drawn a penalty there in the when the Leafs already had a power play, when the guy had his stick blade through his skate. But, I think you've got to keep it. I just, wonder if it gets to the point where you say, okay, Freddie Gauthier is going to be here just to add size to that fourth line. And, I think there's maybe a little bit of concern. We haven't seen a whole lot from the Kadri line with Brown and Lebo. But that could change in the next couple of games ahead.
Now, Brown actually made a couple of really nice defensive plays tonight.
Yeah, and let's face it, that's, as much as you want offense from your third line, that's really, I think, what you're banking on, is the guys that could be the shutdown guys, but... part of their ability to keep the top line of the other team off the board is to have the puck on their end. And I think there's enough talent there to be able to do some damage. But right now, I think that's probably, a mild concern, is that the you're getting some offense from the guys you expected it from, but there's that third line that you thought was going to be so good for you is gotten off to a very average start offensively.
Any surprises on the back end tonight? I thought Hainsey was pretty good. I thought Morgan Rielly was pretty good. Jake Gardner, I didn't really notice, which is a good thing outside of the tape pass inside the blue line with What was it? Less than a minute to go in the second period.
No, I mean, I'm still watching. I mean, I'm still watching the highlights up in the booth here and going,
why?
Going, wow.
Well, goalie's got to love that, doesn't he? Like, if you're in that, wouldn't you just love that? Oh, okay, we're getting it out. Minute left in the period. Oh, no, we're not.
Like I said, there's just so many opportunities where the safe made play wasn't made.
Yeah.
It was going to be, it was like everybody that got up, they were swinging for the fences. Any little play, they were going for it. And, you know, then I thought, you know, after the first two goals that the Leafs had, the Kapanen goal, and then Kapanen setting up Austin Matthews. I said to Joe after the first period, I said, "What? The Leafs haven't scored an ugly goal yet. You know, they've all been great little passes, nice plays, highlight reel shots. And then, lo and behold, John Tavares gets a couple in the second period. The rebound and then the redirection. Yeah. And they seem to be off of the races. And I love Cam Ward and everything he's done in his career. And a Conn Smythe Trophy winner and a Stanley Cup winner. But a little bit of odor to the overtime winner by Morgan Rielly as well.
A great pushback by the Leafs. I mean, go back to the start of this game. It was dreadful. They're down 2-0. They're up 3-2 early in the second period and then really dealt the cards from there, even though Chicago obviously pushed back. But I thought that was noteworthy, too.
Yeah, it's and it's funny that, you know, they had moments. I thought brief moments against Montreal where the offense looked good. A little better against Ottawa. But, you know, when it got to the last 5 minutes or so, the Senators really did a pretty good job of shutting them down. So you think it's Chicago you're going to come back on? You know, you still think out of the three teams, if there's going to be a comeback somewhere, I don't think you would have taken the United Center. But, you know, you might have the argument as well that 3 games and 4 nights for the Hawks and, you know, the first two of those for them were on the road.
Ralphie, in terms of looking forward, this is obviously a big road trip, and things are developing in front of you now. But you know, Dallas, Detroit, Washington, the work is cut out for them.
Yeah, I mean, I still think you have the 4-game trip, and you think, okay, out of the 8 points, you know, 5 might be nice. You know, you throw in an overtime or shootout loss in there somewhere. So I think that's why it's important to always start things off on the right note. You know, even though we can say Detroit should be the game that you win and Dallas and Washington are going to be bigger challenges, I still think it was pretty important to win this one.
Ralphie, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
Jim Ralph reporting to us from the United Center, where the Leafs have prevailed over the Chicago Blackhawks 7-6.
A couple of missed field goals, and they finally hit one late in the game.
Where do you see what happens in the second half? Let's go to Chicago now and hear from Coach Babcock.
To win in a tough, tough building against some pretty good hockey players over there. How do you put it all into perspective here now after the overtime?
Well, it's probably fun for the fans. A lot of entertainment out there. I mean, you know, obviously it was going in on both nets, and we had a lot of good plays, and I thought, you know, they were flying, and we were standing there watching them at the start. I don't know if that's too much respect or what that was at the start, but once we got playing, I thought we did a real good job, and yet, you know, the puck kept going in our nets, so I thought we were home free a few times, but that never happened.
Is that the role you expected Zach to kind of play on that line?
Zach? Well, I don't know why, like, Zach can't get anyone to even talk about him, but I mean, to me, he's just, why does that line play in the offensive zone all the time? Because he just keeps to go get it and go get it and go get it and go get it, and he's heavy. When you look around the league, how many guys can skate like that and protect the puck like that, be like that? We're fortunate to have him.
What happened after that line?
Well, just, I mean, obviously it wasn't going very good, and we needed to do something. And, you know, Cappy's another big body. We'd like him to decide he wants to play like Hyman. That's what we'd like him to decide to do, and you know, get to the net, be on the inside all the time, bring it every single night. If he can do that, he can play with good players.
So, Mike, what did you think of Austin and Patrick Kane exchanging the celebrations and the goals there at the end?
Yeah, I thought that was good. You know, what I like, though, is I like he's playing head-to-head with Matty. I thought that was really good, and it was a good matchup. A good opportunity for Matthews. Anytime you're playing against a determined leader like John is, it's I think it's a real good opportunity for a young guy. And, you know, he's been the best, in my opinion, for a long time in that role as a matchup guy. And so when you can play well against him, I think that's important. And obviously, Tavares was unreal. That line was unbelievable for us.
What do you think Austin can learn from going up against him?
Well, just, I mean, there's a determined guy. You're not getting a more determined guy, in my opinion, a better leader in hockey than that guy. He knows how to play. He's better in the big moments. It doesn't matter who you play with them, they're always good players. They might not be, but when they play with him, they're good players. And that's what you want from Matthews. You want a guy who's going to, you know, he wants to be the best player in hockey. In order to do that, you got to play 200 feet. You got to play with and without it.
That is Coach Babcock after the 7-6 Maple Leaf win in overtime over the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Yes, guy.
Lots of excitement tonight. That was for sure.
I mean, I like the gamesmanship, the little ear gesture by Matthews, and then the return by Kane. I mean, that was kind of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, and especially two guys who work out together in the summer and skate. I think they must have been skating together too. But yeah, as a coach, that kind of eats at your craw when you're joking around with the other guys on the other team, and you're there to get the job done and do the business, and you know. I guess it's okay to have fun at certain times. You got to pick the right time.
Pretty good challenge for Kapanen, though. I mean, the coach didn't waste any words there. If he wants to play like Hyman, he could play with those guys.
But he does, and he can. And the one thing that he has over Zach, and no disrespect to Zach, but Kasperi's got better hands and better skill. And you know, if he can bring that role of the determination and the drive and the forecheck and the physicality and winning the battles and protecting the puck. On top of that, playing with the players that he's going to be playing with, be able to finish when he gets the opportunity, I think it's a heck of a fit for that line.
Leafs win by a score of 7-6. Riley gets the overtime winner 19 seconds into the overtime period. We're going to hear from Tavares, Riley, Matthews, and Garrett Sparks coming up in the duration of the post-game show. We are here until 10:50 tonight. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart Radio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leafs Radio Network. Leafs Game Night, Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert in studio. The TSN Turning Point is brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.ca. So, Gibby, what would that be?
Well, first of all, I'd have to say points. There's a couple.
Yeah, okay. Could be several turning points.
And one that a lot of people may not think of was the four-minute penalty kill.
Yeah.
In the second period. They did an outstanding job. They had Chicago so frustrated that's what you want to do. You want to frustrate your opposition. They had just scored previously to get, I believe it was to take the lead.
The 4-3 goal?
4-3 goal, yeah. And then they take the four-minute penalty, which happens. But their penalty kill, to me, consolidated that lead. And obviously, as the game went on, it kind of fell apart a bit. But to me, that's a turning point, because you've got a team that now they're down by one goal. They get a four-minute power play, and they can't do squat. They can't enter the zone properly, and if they did, they never really got full control. Puck was down. Leafs were putting pressure up ice in the offensive zone, in the neutral zone. They were giving Chicago absolutely zero space and time or room to move. And to me, as a coach, that's a turning point.
Do you remember who got the only shot on goal?
Yes, Kapanen.
Yeah.
Backhand, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Would that be your second turning point?
No, the second turning point would be him jumping up in the line with Matthews.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I see you. You're walking me down that road, I thought I'd jump in.
I mean, if I have to hold up cards,
just don't pull on the leash so tight. I got a rash on my neck.
I got to bring in my my marker so I can write it on a card and hold it up. but really, I mean, when you think of it, it first happens. His first appearance on the line is the result of the 2-0 goal where Zaitsev threw it into Kapanen skates, and he just couldn't handle the pass, and then the turnover, and a second later it's in the net, it's 2-0. But the next shift it's 2-1, and the shift after that it's 2-2. So that, I mean, that did salvage a bad start by the Leafs. The first 9 minutes they were turnstiles.
Oh, absolutely. The whole team was there, and Mike Babcock said it, and anybody that watched the game would say it. The Leafs were standing watching Chicago play. And they were just caught on their heels like you would not believe. And Chicago wasn't giving them a wisp of breath. They were going to try to finish them off and choke them early. But obviously they battled their way back in, got into the game, and started taking the game to Chicago. So there's a couple turning points there for sure. But, you know, the way they played the first 9 and the last 50, for the most part, is a heck of a turnaround.
Any other turning points, like the last goal?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it. It was four goals in a minute and 43 seconds. That's the last three in the third period and the 19 seconds in overtime. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that before, to be quite honest with you. And it's, what a great game, eh?
Well, you know what, but going back to what the coach said about the Matthews-Taves thing, I just think that the fact that you have you now have a roster that can dance with Kane and Taves, and you could actually, you're going to win the game. You could go one-on-one with these guys, and I'm not going to say beat them at their own game, but I mean, you're in the ballpark here, and you won tonight. I mean, that's a major statement, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah, but I don't think he's very happy. But
of course not, but I'm talking about us. No, he wouldn't be happy at all about that, but it was fun to watch.
Not as a coach.
Well, and we're not coaching.
Well, I did it at once, and I know the feeling.
Oh, come on, coach. It was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, goodness. Oh, it was a blast. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, don't ever do that again. Yeah.
But, no, it was a fun game for the fans. I mean, anybody that watched the game, you're going, holy smokes. And like I said, I've never seen that before. I think it was four goals in a minute, 43, and not really great goals. The two from Kane were the same one-timer, the same setup. You know, the defenseman over to Schmaltz to Kane backside, and
ripped one timers, right?
Yeah, ripped one timers, but still, I mean, goalies should be able to have that. It's a long pass to the backside for those one timers, and all you got to do is square to the shot. But you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it was an exciting game, but there are still some skeletons in the closet for the Leafs that they got to clean up. They're not going to win every night that way, for sure.
No, but it is game three. If you went over the history books, you would find that early season Toronto-Chicago games do end up this way.
Well, last year it was the same thing, didn't it? They had to come from behind two goals to win it in overtime.
I think this goes back a number of decades. I can remember games at the Gardens in early in the season where there
wasn't
was like
even
a
close.
No. You were in those games.
Yeah.
I think I can remember like a 10-8 game or something.
No, God. Well, it was probably 7-3 or something like that.
Okay.
No, but it was, they were always intense battles for sure.
Yeah, I think it was very entertaining to watch, and you just sort of move forward. I mean, no, you're not going to do that in Dallas, but you know, when you look at the matchups, and again, I always push Detroit to the side because they could be like Ottawa and Montreal. They could surprise the heck out of you, but when you're talking about big gun players, I mean, obviously Dallas and Washington have them. You know, there's another opportunity for the Leafs' key guys to match up against key guys in some pretty good hockey teams.
Yeah, for sure, and I think you know, both those teams that you're talking about are a little more experienced than the ones they've faced up to this point, with Montreal, Ottawa, and Chicago. So their back end is better. Their system, their style of play is better. It's not wide open, even though both teams have players that can score and set up plays, but are very offensive minded. But I think there are more those two teams, Dallas and Washington, are more stable hockey clubs when it comes to 5-on-5 play. Leafs power play, obviously, I think is going to be a key in those games coming up if they get the opportunities. But the 5-on-5 game is going to be the biggest test for them.
So let's do the coach routine. I mean, if you're in that Leaf dressing room, you're not going to say anything post game. But tomorrow, assuming they work out, maybe they have tomorrow off due to the trip. But I mean, what the next time you talk to the players, what are you going to say about this, or do you just move on?
Well, I think there has to be a little bit of direction between games. You can't accept some of the mistakes and things that were made in tonight's game to allow Chicago to score those goals, especially 6-on-5. It's a key situation, and you got to learn how to defend that. And Chicago came back and tied the game twice with a 6-on-5 situation. So it's something that'll be addressed. I don't think you have to be negative about it, but I think you have to be upfront and honest and point at the areas we've got to continue to get better at, whether it's through video. Chances are they're not gonna skate tomorrow, or might be an optional, because there's a lot of these guys that might want to go out and just get a sweat on, get the equipment feeling good, and get the legs going, and then get ready for the game the next night. So it'll be interesting to see how they go through this process tonight into tomorrow and getting ready for the Dallas game. But you have to show something and address the areas that, again, tonight they've had some issues with in the previous two games.
And the 6-on-5, I mean, it's a common scene. The Leafs have struggled with this for a number of years with different people there. But I mean, it's a collapsing routine, isn't it?
You can't circle the wagons. You're just allowing people to tee it up one time, and you think you're going to block it, but you could be just getting a piece of the puck and deflecting it. Secondly, you could be screening your goaltender. The more people you have down close to the blue paint, the less room he has to come out and really get a focus on outside the blue paint, on the shot in the shot lane. And, you know, Chicago did a great job getting people to net front. You saw Sparks trying to lead side to side to try to find where the shot was actually going to come from. And they end up going in. So there's areas in those situations. It's very much a penalty kill situation mentality. And you've got to be willing to block shots. You can't stand in the shot lane and then the shot's coming and step aside and your goalie's going, well, gee, thanks very much. It's you got to pay the price. And you can't just stand there and watch. And they did tonight in Chicago, just zipped it by them.
You want to pressure them, right?
At the right times. Yeah. On a 6-on-5, if you pressure at the wrong times, the offensive team wants you to do that. They want to pull you out because now it's a 5-on-4. And then if another guy jumps, it's a 4-on-3. So all they're trying to do is they're trying to pull you out of position to set somebody else up in behind you.
If we were analyzing the Blackhawks' performance tonight based on their start, they would be fairly disappointed, wouldn't they?
I would think so. The fact that they weren't able to maintain that pressure that they had on the Leafs early, if they played 60 minutes or even 50 minutes the way they played the first 10, it's no contest. I think Chicago's walking out there with a 2-3 goal lead and 2 points at the end of the night, but they weren't able to maintain it. It almost seemed like at times once the Leafs turned their game up a notch, Chicago wasn't able to respond and push back. And that's where I think that the team would be disappointed. But again, Chicago was making turnovers at key times too and giving the Leafs more momentum and opportunity. So mistakes were made on both sides. It wasn't the prettiest of games, but both teams had spurts of real good hockey.
Well, I mean, the Hawks, once you get away from the core players, are young in spots, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, especially on their third and fourth lines. I mean, Kunitz is on the third line there. But for the most part, overall, I mean, you look on the back end, and the young defenseman there, another 3 assists tonight. You know, Lukahura.
Right.
You know, he's 3 points again tonight. He had 2 last night in St. Louis. That's 5 points in 2 nights for a young kid, rookie.
Yeah, so. Duncan Keith had, what, 3?
Yep.
Yeah. So 7-6, the Leafs win in overtime on the Riley goal with 19 seconds gone in the overtime period. When we come back, sound from JT, Morgan Riley, Austin Matthews, Garrett Sparks. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart Radio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
First up with Michael Landsberg and former Leaf Carlo Colaiacovo every weekday morning from 6 to 10 on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Leafs game night, Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert in studio. So now we go through and hear what the players have to say. We'll say we'll start with John Tavares. 3 goals tonight, and here's what he offered up post-game.
That was a wild one. How did you guys pull it out in the end?
Yeah, you know, a lot of momentum swings tonight. I think you could tell with probably some sloppiness on both sides at times. It's the first back-to-back of the year, and but we just stayed with it, no quit, and whatever adversity we faced today, I felt we responded pretty well and got some big plays from some big-time players today. So,
is it nerve-wracking? Is it fun? How would you describe being part of a team like that?
Well, I think it's just great to come out on top. I think we know those are not ones you want to get in all the time, but they're certainly exciting, and it certainly gets the emotions kind of up and down. And it's just, I think, a good character win coming off of yesterday and coming on a back-to-back on the road. So, yeah, just dug deep and some big plays, from many guys tonight. So, nice to get the 2 points.
Marlowe, Brown, Kapanen, the back-checking, the work in the trenches and all that went into it here tonight. Could you provide us a perspective with that?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of contributions all over the place. I mean, we had some guys with some big nights, but, you look at all the little plays that are made kind of that lead to some of our success and some of the pucks that went in, and I think 2 of the small plays Patty Marlowe made on the last 2 goals were tremendous, and Cappy really stepped up for us, made some great plays. Zach, I thought, was a horse tonight, just on the forechecking, getting retrieving pucks in front of the net. Mo had a hell of a night, and obviously, you know, we see what Matt does the game after game, and Mitch and those guys. So, you know, top to bottom, we had contributions everywhere, and that's what you need to win this league and win consistently.
It's really important, but was this one of those big impact makes you feel about when you signed here?
I mean, you know, I want to be as consistent as I can, so I prepare myself and expect a lot of myself on a nightly basis with and without the puck. So, you know, I feel like things keep improving, keep getting better, keep feeling more comfortable, and I still know there's room for growth and ways to get better. So just to keep challenging myself and just not be satisfied with what's happened so far. We got a long ways to go, obviously. So, and I think going into this week, it's a crucial week. I mean, we got a tough schedule, a lot of travel, 5 games in 8 days, and every single point matters. So, you know, just trying to hunker down and do the best I can.
Does a night like this make you think about what this team is capable of?
Well, I think we always believed in that. I think it's just making sure that we're not sacrificing other parts of our game to get the chances or the numbers on the board that are possible. I think it's being able to do it in a way that's going to allow us to win and give us the best chance to win on a nightly basis. So just establishing those habits and knowing when we get our opportunities, we get our time and space, we get a lot of creativity, a lot of guys that can make plays.
What sticks out to you about the way Austin shoots the puck? Anything particular?
Well, I mean, you if you're not paying close attention, you're going to miss it. I mean, his release is... if not the best, one of the best in the league. He's just ability to get it off as quick as he does, and then obviously I think being as accurate as he is, ability to change the angle, be deceptive the way he is. It's you know, it's special. You can't teach that.
So a hat trick for JT tonight. That's his 9th career 3-plus goal game, and it ties Malkin and Perry for second most since his debut in the NHL in the 9-10 season. The most, the grade 8, Ovi with 12. Pretty good company.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, that's what special players do that, and John Tavares is definitely one of those guys, and you can see why players like that score. I mean, the shot he let go tonight was a rocket, and it was maybe 6 square inches that he had to put it in, maybe 7 or 8 square inches, but right over Ward's shoulder, top shelf, and in it goes, and just a flick of the wrist again, and that's what goal scorers do.
You certainly appreciate a player when he's on your team, just because you watch every shift and you see how he scores and how good he is. And, you know, we always knew that John Tavares was a great hockey player, but I think we appreciate it more now.
Well, for sure. And you know, playing with a guy like that, I mean, you're always trying to steal his sticks and use them and see if that's the key.
Were you a stick weasel?
No. Goodness, no.
Oh, come on. You can tell us.
No. I had my own pattern. I loved it, and I could dump a puck in on any pane of glass in the world.
Yeah, you did.
Just
didn't
pick
you?
It out. Yep. Absolutely. Some guys score, I just hit panes of glass. But anyway, it is what it is. But yeah, they're special. I mean, you look at Ovechkin, look at his shot. Look at Johnny Tavares' shot. You know, Corey Perry's shot. They're snipers.
Oh, Malkin, too.
Or Malkin, too. Yeah,
the silencer. I always called him the silencer because when he scored, it'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a cannon.
Yep. Morgan Riley got the winning goal 19 seconds into overtime. He had a goal and 2 assists tonight, 3 points plus 3, played 20 minutes and 13 seconds, and here's what he offered up post-game.
Crazy night. It seemed like Morgan was just a matter of getting shots on net and seeing how things would go from there.
Yeah, obviously a strange night with the way it finished. You know, we don't want to be in those games too often, but obviously we're happy with the outcome.
Sparks was the first guy, I think, in the pile.
Yeah.
Got to be happy for him tonight.
Yeah, very happy. Obviously, it's a hometown game for him. He was very excited to come home and play, and I thought he did a really good job. Played well. We have lots of confidence in him. He's proven that he can play well at this level. So, you know, moving forward, I think it should just build his confidence.
What stood out to you about John and his line tonight?
They were great. I mean, Mitch and him were great, but I think Hyman, you know, really drives that line in terms of puck possession and, you know, what he can do down low. And obviously John and Mitch will find each other and, you know, work between the two of them. But Himes, I thought, was outstanding as well.
To answer the DeBrincat goal as quickly as you guys did in that nice looping pass from Austin to hit Kapanen, I guess with that kind of speed, a good chance he's going to get to it.
Yeah, obviously not a great start for us, but, you know, to answer back like that was important. And I think you're right. I think with Cappy's speed, you know, he's able to chase down loose pucks, and he made a great move and a big goal for us that really got us going.
Is there anything you've learned from John playing with him that maybe you didn't know?
Yeah, lots of things, you know, you know, more than I can talk about right now. But, you know, there's, you know, whether it's his off-ice demeanor, whether it's the way he prepares or the way that, you know, he grinds the puck down low, there's lots of things you can talk about. So, you know, as we get more familiar with one another and he becomes more comfortable in the with this system, I'm sure he's just going to keep getting better.
Morgan Rielly with some praise for Zach Hyman, and not the first person to do that tonight.
No, you know, Mike Babcock talked about him, and Mike loves him, and he just loves the way he plays. He brings it every night, and, you know, you have to respect that. He's a hard-working guy. He knows what his role is, and he plays it to a T, and you need those big bodies, the forecheckers, the guys are going to win the battles in the corner to get your, you know, the little piece of rubber to your skill guys.
Well, and you need people to do things at the right time. You know, we'll talk about Hyman here when we talked about Connor Brown with a couple of nice defensive plays when the zone was vacated. And, you know, you're talking about the slimmest of margins, 7-6 with an overtime goal. So those things matter.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those two back checks that I can recall, and there's probably more than that Connor Brown made tonight. I mean, that's what you do. You have teammates that maybe make a mistake or get caught in the wrong position, and you do what you have to do to bail them out. That's what team is all about, is working for each other, helping for each other, and covering for each other. And that's two great examples tonight.
Auston Matthews, two goals and an assist for 3 points, played 16:53, and he was 55% in the faceoff dot. Here's what he offered up post-game.
Austin, you and Pat seem to be having some fun out there at the end of your celebrations. Where'd that come from?
I don't know. Just, you know, show a little emotion, and then, you know, you think you not got the game locked up, but obviously 30 seconds left, you know, a big goal after they just scored one. So, you know, sometimes all you can do is just laugh because, you know, he's obviously a premier player in this league and somebody I look up to, you know, one of my favorite players growing up watching. So, you know, when that happens, I think you just kind of got to sit back and laugh because, you know, you're in this position. It's pretty funny, but, you know, we're fortunate to get the win tonight.
How are you thinking you could pull this over? Sparks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he made a huge save there at the end for us, and I mean, he was pretty solid all night. You know, a couple goals that's on us in our D zone, but all in all, I mean, he was pretty solid. And obviously, like you said, in his hometown, you know, happy to get the win for him.
Patrick Marleau's pushing 4 decades on this planet. What about his work ethic at his age?
4 decades, geez. Yeah, I mean, he still gets it done. Like I said during training camp, I mean, he's still flying out there. He still makes plays. You know, creates space for myself and whoever's on that right side with his speed. And obviously, he's a smart player. He's been in the league for as long as he's been, and he's got a knack for the net. He gets it done, and you know, he's a fun guy to play with.
What do you think about Cappy moving up your line tonight?
Yeah, he obviously brings a lot of speed. So I think you saw it on that first goal, and then even the goal he fed me. It was an unbelievable pass by him. And you know, I don't think a lot of guys, you know, very few can skate the way he does up and down the rink. So when you got a guy like that out there, he creates quite a bit of space, and you know, he's got a good shot to finish it off. So you know, it was, I thought we meshed pretty well tonight.
You admired obviously Patrick's skill set. What's it been like kind of getting to know him? You had the camp with him in Tampa. What have you learned about him as a guy?
Yeah, I think a lot of people when they look at it, look at him, they just see pure talent and skill. But I think when you're around him, his work ethic's second to none. He's one of the hardest working guys, first guy on the ice, last guy off. So I think that's kind of the main thing that I took from last 2 years skating with him at the end of the summer, heading into training camp, is just how serious he takes his craft and how much he wants to get better, even as a premier player he is, and all the accomplishments that he's already had throughout his career.
How well have you gotten to know John all those couple of years here?
I mean, he's my teammate, so I better be able to know him pretty well. So,
what have you learned about him then, maybe?
I mean, nothing I haven't already told you guys. He's very, you know, takes his craft very seriously. He's very focused. You know, he's a guy that comes to the rink every day ready to go to work. So I think you saw that tonight. He, you know, he took over at times, had a couple big goals for us, and, you know, getting a hat trick, obviously, he must have played a pretty good game. So a couple of big goals from him for us tonight.
Auston Matthews post game. If you had to compare Auston Matthews this year with 2 years ago, what would you come up with? I mean, this guy just gets better by the game, doesn't he?
Well, he's gotten bigger and stronger and faster. And, you know, he's understanding the game more. He's playing at a higher tempo, higher pace than he did 2 years ago. And, you know, he's a heck of a player. I mean, there's no question about it. The one thing I'd like to see him show a little bit more is learning how to play without the puck at times. And especially in his own zone, you can't curl and bob and weave all over the place and hope that somebody else gets the puck. You have a responsibility within that scheme to help do it. But Everything is moving in the right direction, but I think it is something he's got to have to add to his repertoire.
You know, the more, obviously the Tavares signing was huge, but when you hear people talk about his effect on the roster, I mean, first of all, for me, the salary is important because it ties in with where we're going over the next 2 years with re-signing everybody. But there's this guy who's going to be on your team for a long time who's just going to do it right every day. That's going to reverberate right through that roster.
Oh, absolutely, and same with the Ron Hainseys and the Patrick Marleaus. I mean, the young players watch these guys, and they watch how they prepare. Austin Matthews was saying it. He comes to work every day. They watch how he prepares. They watch how he practices. They watch how he plays and how he carries himself and what it means to be in the National Hockey League and want to win a Stanley Cup and a championship. There's some great guys right there to learn from and watch.
Let's close off the sound with Garrett Sparks, who made 25 saves tonight on 31 shots, particularly stunning in the opening 9 minutes when the Leafs were watching. He stopped 12 of 14 in that first period. In the third period, as Ralphie detailed, maybe got to him a bit, made 7 out of 10 saves. And, you know, there was that collapsing routine with the goalie out for the other side that probably wasn't going to make him look good. But I'll go with Ralphie's analysis there.
Yeah, and it's very true. I mean, the pressure was on, the heat was on, and they needed one or two big saves, and it didn't happen. And, you know, it could have been bad bounces or what have you, but that's all part of the game. Your job is to stop the puck, and it's not all his fault by any means. But, you know, didn't come up with a big save late, but there were spurts in that game, especially early, where he held him in the game.
Here is Garrett Sparks post-game.
Well, welcome home, and what a win.
Certainly exciting for everybody in the building. It was just great to be out there. I mean, this is like just being out there for the anthem and, you know, the Stan Mikita ceremony, and just knowing that I've been on the other side of the glass so many times, and to get on the ice for the first time was really cool. And, you know, I thought I had some good saves. I thought I had some stuff I can clean up. And ultimately, you want to win the game, and that's all that matters. And, you know, 7-6, I'll take it.
Yeah, and 10 saves to start the game, I think, 9 or 10. I mean, that's the way you did want to start, and I guess get the butterflies settled down a bit.
Yeah, and you know, obviously when you start out like that, like you think things you know, might go your way, but it's an amazing game. The puck can do incredible things, and you just have to be on your toes for a full 60 minutes. And you know, like I said, it's just good to get back here. It's amazing to, you know, be able to start a game in Chicago, and you know, it's what you play your whole life for.
How much of a mental challenge did it come with all the stuff going on?
I would say, well, I wouldn't even say that the goals were a mental challenge as much as, you know, just the emotions of the day. You know, there's going to be goals. There's not going to be six every night, but there's going to be goals. And you just have to manage that and keep your team in the game and make big saves when you can.
Is there a moment you think you'll remember this for starting your hometown?
I would just say, you know, being able to make that save on Kane before the end of the second period. Obviously, you know, you give that up, you go into the period tied. And, I mean, I didn't do myself any favors letting in the first shot of the third period, but still, you know, stuff like that is stuff that you can grab and gain confidence from. And, you know, I went up against my childhood heroes tonight, and, you know, there's nothing cooler than that.
Any guess on the number of family and friends?
There's a few. I should go see them.
Garrett Sparks, 7-6, the Leafs win in overtime. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart Radio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leafs Radio Network.
Another shot, rebound, scores! Patrick Marleau knocks this out of the air! Or check that, is it Tavares?
Yeah.
It is Tavares on a line change. Number one unit on there. Now they score! Tavares! Tipped in! A Mitch Marner pass! Marner back in for Tavares. Back on his skates. And a shot! He scores! Holy mackerel! John Tavares with the hat trick!
JT! And that's not the only storyline out of this game. You would think that would be enough to carry it, right? But no. No, no, no. Plenty of stuff going on. By the way, for some strange reason, 13 is the number today. Carolina 8-5 over the Rangers, and Toronto 7-6 over Chicago. Detroit and LA are underway. It's scoreless so far.
So 13 because two games?
I have no idea. It's 13.
Come on, man.
13. It's first weekend.
Friday the 13th or something like 13
that. 13 is the weird number today.
You know Halloween's at the end of the month, right?
Really?
Okay.
When did they change that?
Your costume yet.
Okay.
Oh, you're reaching now.
Oh,
13's the number. Okay, then.
Thank you for stepping on my throat.
Yeah, no, it's... Garrett Sparks, good comments. I mean, he knows he's got to work, and there's things he's got to improve on, but it was good. It was good to see him find a way to get through.
And that's what that was, right? Finding a way. After that start, that's the way you would describe what happened after that.
They could have been down 3 Cobb after 10 minutes, easily. And like I said, the first shift of the game, it was the Matthews line, and they had 3 point-blank turnovers, and Chicago created 2 grade-A scoring opportunities in the first shift. So if he doesn't come up with those big saves, they're down to, I'd say, 2 to 3 Cobb after 9-10 minutes.
Big saves, Kapanen gets boosted to the Matthews line, and all of a sudden it starts to turn slowly.
And that line was, once Kasperi Kapanen got on that right side and that line brought a little bulk and bite to that line, good things happened. And, we've talked about the pass that Zaitsev gave him. There's nothing Kasperi Kapanen can do there. The onus is on Nikita Zaitsev to see the Chicago player closing ice on Kapanen and putting pressure on him before he even lets the pass go. He's got to make another decision and find another option rather than that one.
I mean, if somebody would grant me a wish, I would say the pass, the defenseman pass out of the zone, could you please correct that? Because that seems to be the going concern, right?
It is, and with a younger defensive core, I guess you could say, outside of Hainsey and Jake Gardner, and Zaitsev's not a kid anymore either, but some of these guys, the younger players, they want to overhandle the puck. They look off the first option, which is usually your best option, and when they look that off and they try to find something else, then they look back to the first option and it's gone, it's no longer there. So now they're carrying the puck, they're usually carrying it into pressure, putting themselves in a bad spot, and that's when the bad things happen.
So the Leafs press on to Dallas, on to Detroit, on to Washington. Thanks for joining us on Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and good night to the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.